The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And it's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. A report in the Washington Post this summer revealed anecdotal evidence from epidemiologists complaining there had been, or claiming that there had been, a rise in the incident of outbreaks of head lice. Now, part of the reason that they have attributed, or part of the cause that they are suggesting for this, is teenagers taking selfies. Joining me now to discuss is Celine Daly, registered advanced nurse practitioner and nurse tutor. So what's the theory here, Celine? Heads are getting close in search of the perfect selfie and head lice are jumping.
And they're jumping. And we have a brand new term now in the English language called selfie surprise. So selfie surprise refers to contracting head lice from taking a selfie with somebody who has head lice. So again, this is underlined three times, anecdotal evidence. It was a report in the Washington Post in the past summer. And again, epidemiologists quite correctly have said there has been a spike in head lice incidences since the COVID-19 pandemic rules have now relaxed. So obviously when there was going to be social distancing and you contract head lice from somebody who had head lice and hair-to-hair contact, it's going to increase when we start socialising again. However, there were some reports through this particular article to say that teenagers are reporting they contracted head lice after taking a number of selfies at parties or what have you, and it's from the hair-to-hair contact. Typically, the most common instance of head lice occurs in children between the ages of 4 and 11, and more so girls than boys. And again, it's that hair-to-hair contact. Now, this is not new. Back in 2019, the Irish Times reported an increased instance of head lice due to selfie taking among teenagers. And again, that was pharmacists who were saying that they were having reports of parents coming in and that their teenagers were having outbreaks of head lice, and they felt it was due to this, culture of taking selfies.
What about non-direct hair-to-hair contact? Can you contract head lice from sharing headphones, as a case in point?
Headphones, hats, combs, brushes, training, helmets, that type of thing. But it's more rare. So head lice don't thrive off the scalp. So head lice live, they're parasitic creatures, and they live off our blood. So once they're off your scalp, they only survive between 24 and 48 hours. It's technically possible that you can, but typically it's the hair-to-hair contact.
As soon as you start talking about head lice, people start feeling head lice. It creates itching even just thinking about it. So how do you know the difference between a psychosomatic itch and the fact that you actually have head lice?
This is brilliant. And the human body is fascinating. So effectively, when you contract head lice, it takes a couple of generations of head lice for you to start scratching. Now, we know that they feed off you. They feed off your human blood. But effectively, it's their poo and their saliva that our body's immune system reacts to and makes you scratch. So your body makes you scratch to physically destroy the head lice. So that was how humans controlled head lice before we had the chemicals, effectively, if for want of a better word. So when you contract head lice, after a couple of weeks, you will start to scratch. But your body will always remember that. So parents will know that once you clear off the head lice, if your child contracts head lice again, they'll start scratching within 2 days because your body is primed to remember the head lice. Now, we're all humans. So when I'm talking about how head lice affect you and that their wee and poo makes you scratch, instantly you start to scratch. So the most important thing to do as parents is to be proactive. So this is about detection and then eradication. So if you have a child going to national school, you should be checking your child's hair every week or 2 weeks for head lice by fine tooth combing the hair, examining the scalp to see, is there any head lice there? It's really important to do this because if you leave this for several weeks, then what happens is you have a huge problem trying to fine tooth comb all the nits, all the lice out of the hair and to treat the hair. Then it's really important to be proactive as well with schools. So it's important that if you detect head lice on your child, that you send your school an email or give them a phone call. They need to know. So parents listening as well, as a parent myself, I remember this when my kids were in national school. If head lice gets a hold in a classroom or in an entire school, it can literally go on for weeks where your child will contract head lice every single week and you have to treat them every single week. So really important, according to the British Association of Dermatologists, there's no way of preventing or guarding yourself against head lice. I remember growing up in the 80s, there was an awful smelly preparation you got in a glass bottle and your mother would put on every September to try and ward off the head lice, and the smell was like sulfur. But it doesn't work. It actually doesn't work like that. Head lice have evolved and they're very resilient, and there's nothing that can prevent you getting head lice. So get involved with the school, examine your child's scalp every week to 2 weeks. If your child has lice, you see it, ring the school. Ask the school to have a hair tie-up policy. That's really important. So it's more common among girls with long hair, or if guys have long hair. So if the hair is tied up, when I was a student nurse, nurses used to have their hair in a bun off your neck. So make sure that hair is tied right up so you have less hair-to-hair contact. If you have a school or a classroom and you're talking to other parents and literally you're treating your kids every week for head lice, try to start off and nominate a day where you're going to treat everybody for head lice. So again, we tend not to treat kids if they don't have head lice, but if your child is in a classroom environment where you're treating every week for many weeks, talk to the parents, talk to the parents' council, talk to the teachers, and see if it's a good idea to nominate one day a week and give it a week in advance notice, say a Monday when everyone's going to treat their hair and their scalp, fine tooth comb, and then the next week do the exact same thing again.
When it comes to treatment, do you have to go mechanical by combing them out, or can you just poison them?
Both. So it's not typically poisoning. So there's a couple of ways you can treat them. First of all, using what we call a physical insecticide. And this is the best way to destroy the lice. So a physical insecticide works by coating the surfaces of the head lice and suffocating them effectively. Chemical insecticides that were used, that smelly thing I was talking about in the 80s that was used, they have developed resistance to that. So they tend not to work as well. So your physical insecticide is better. It comes in foams, lotions, and your pharmacy will advise you on the best one to use. But you have to wet comb. You have to actually fine tooth comb those eggs out of the hair. And again, this is fine if you've got lovely little fine hair and if you're, say, short hair style. But if you're like, our household are full of thick hair, curly haired people, and that can be really, really difficult. So what I advise, if you have very thick, curly hair, the first thing to do is to warm up some olive oil, drench the scalp with olive oil and leave it on for 5-10 minutes. And that loosens the grip of the lice as well. And it's just easier to detect to see if there's lice there. Put on some shampoo directly in the head, wash and dry, and then fine tooth comb out the hair. And do it in sections, literally and methodically separate the hair into sections and fine tooth comb it. Do not use the fine tooth comb in the box. That's my advice. I recommend a little very old fashioned fine tooth comb called the Ivora, I-V-O-R-A fine tooth comb. I put a picture of it on my Instagram later on. And it has very fine teeth on it. They're barely a quarter of a millimetre apart. So basically you'll catch all the nits, you'll catch some lice in that fine tooth comb as well when you're methodically fine tooth combing out the hair. So treat on day one and then treat on day seven again. Do wash your combs, hats, all that kind of stuff too, or bag it for a couple of days, and then the lice, if there's any lice on your bed linen or on your hats or scarves, they will die after a couple of days anyway. But it's really important to be methodical about this. What happens, a lot of parents that try to do alternative remedies like tea tree oil, it doesn't work. Or some people get really fed up because literally every single week a child can come home with infestation. But don't give up, keep treating. But really it's important to talk to your school and try to coordinate treatment if the head lice has got out of control in a particular classroom.
Céline, thank you very much. And apologies to anybody we made itchy during that discussion. That's Céline Daly, registered advanced nurse practitioner and nurse.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.